Hey, this is Pastor Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us. I know God has a word for you today. I hope you really hear it deep down in your spirit. I pray you feel encouraged and inspired to keep chasing Jesus with all you've got. If you'd like to support the ministry of the Branch Church so we can continue to connect those far from God to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, you can do so at branch.church/give. Now let's get to the message. There we go. I need more Jesus. How about you? Do you need some more Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, there's not a better thing that any pastor can give you than for him to fall more in love with Jesus. There's nothing better I can offer you. Because the more that I love Jesus, the more that Amanda loves Jesus, the better pastors we're going to be for you. With that falling in love process, there's a lot of things that get opened up. There's dreams, there's hopes, there's visions, there's purpose, there's plans, there's destiny. And this is what we want to get into today. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. It's the Old Testament. It's pretty early on in the Bible. It's about this far in. Okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, number 5. Deuteronomy 7. If you don't have your Bible, we've got it on the Sky Bible for you. And we'll just start in verse 1. You ready? When's the last time you read from Deuteronomy? Yeah? Last year? Right, you do the reading plan? There you go. All right, here we go. Here's what the Word of God says. When? Y'all say when.
When.
Gosh, I love that word. There's so much packed into that one word. I'm not going to do this for every word in this passage, I promise you. But listen, this is good. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you're about to enter and occupy, how many of you know that God's promises and his plans are a matter of when, not a matter of if? Anybody? That's good news. That's a big deal. I know that we all spend time wandering in the wilderness, but God has something better in store for you. His promises are yes and not maybe.
Amen.
Yes and amen. Thank you. Yes and amen. His promises are not a matter of if, but when. So we can praise while we're in that pasture season. No? Great. We can worship while we're in the wilderness. We can hallelujah through the hurt. You know how hard it is to do that? I'll give it to you. It's hard. It's hard. And so I wonder, in this opening moment, can we just take a quick couple of seconds and build our faith? The Bible says, build up yourself in your most holy faith. Can we build ourselves up in our most holy faith right now? Because we know that whatever is working in our lives is God moving it to work for our good. Can we do that for just a second? I don't know. Can we take a quick praise break? Can we say thank you, Jesus? Can we say hallelujah anyhow? Man, I'm so grateful for the love of God in my life. I know there's still some struggle. I know there's still some hurt. But none of that changes the nature and the character of God. None of it. He won't just bring you to it. He won't just bring you to your destiny. He'll hold your hand and walk with you through it. I know it gets hard sometimes. Believe me, I know. So I'm going away for the next 3 days, okay?
Come on, it's true.
But he's going to walk with you through it. It doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. God is worthy of worship because he always comes through.
Yeah.
Are y'all ready to read the Word of God?
Yeah, come on.
When, y'all say when.
When.
When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are about to enter and occupy, he will clear away many nations ahead of you. The Hittites, the Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And yes, I probably messed up those names. These seven nations are greater and more numerous than you. Have you ever looked at the thing facing you, realizing, hey, this is too big for me? Anybody walked up to a mountain that needs to move and yelled at it and screamed at it and it didn't go anywhere? It's probably because it's too big for you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Is it okay to recognize that? It ain't too big for God.
Yeah. Come on.
Because we just read, when the Lord your God brings you in.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what's facing you. The song just said, the last song we sang, the weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper.
Come on now.
I love it. These seven nations are greater and more numerous than you. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you completely conquer them, I love this. I absolutely love this. This is not a matter of if. This is a matter of when. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you completely conquer them, there's not even a question of if you can conquer them. He's just said when you conquer them. What a big deal. You must, this is why I really like this passage, right? It says, then you must completely destroy them. Mm-hmm. Go for that killer instinct. You ever watched like any sports game? It doesn't matter what sport it is. And you've got like a number one team playing like, I don't know, a number like 14 team. And the 14 team beats the number one seed. Have you ever seen that happen before? Has anybody else's brackets completely ruined this year? It's been terrible. The reason is because we don't come in with the killer instinct knowing that we've already won the victory. And so we tend to play down to the level of that which is trying to attack us. I'm sorry they said mean things about you on Facebook. Who cares? Okay? It doesn't help anybody to get into social media arguments. It does nothing. It's okay to lose for the sake of your integrity. You must completely destroy them. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. Y'all say no mercy.
No mercy.
No mercy. For my note takers in the room, y'all know how I feel about note takers, right? Note takers are?
World changers.
No mercy. There's your title. No mercy. Father, I love you. I thank you. I pray that you would engage with us. Open our eyes, open our ears, open the windows of our heart, and breathe the breath of God, the Spirit of God into us like never before. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Church, let me just tell you, God has enormous plans for your life. Enormous. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how far from God you are. He has a plan for your life. You were created on purpose and full of purpose. God is so creative, in fact, that he has a very specific plan for each individual that has ever lived. That's a lot of creativity, okay? Like, I probably couldn't do that even for the small group that we have here today. I just couldn't do it. I'm not that creative. I'm not God. But God is. He didn't create you to mimic somebody else's purpose. When he built you, when he created you, knit you together in your mother's womb, he did so with a new plan in place. Isaiah said it like this, but forget all that. Forget all the stuff you've already seen, the paths you've already watched be walked. You just ignore it all. He says, it is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Mm-hmm. Don't you see it? I think we can all understand that our God-given destiny will play out over the lifetime, over our whole lifetime. However, if we spend our life imitating others, trying to achieve their level of success or their version of success, then our destiny, our plan, will be limited by the achievement of common men. My God is anything but common.
Yes.
And so to try to replicate something else is to go against what God has called you to do and be who you were meant to be. God is anything but common. He is the uncommon among the ages who was and is to come. My destiny won't be dictated by the simplicity of my mind. It just won't. I won't let it. Because whatever I think I can achieve on my own is nothing compared to what God can do through me. Once we understand this, that it is the Lord God who brings us into the land we're about to occupy. Once we understand that it is only God who brings us and leads us and guides us to it, then we can trust him to provide for us once we get there. Have you ever not taken a step of faith before? Anybody? Is it just me? Okay, There was this one time I did not take a step of faith. All right. It wasn't really a rhetorical question. Okay. There was this one time I didn't take a step of faith. Can I tell you the next step of faith that I had to take was that same step of faith. It's like instead of moving forward, I just tried to sidestep it and then there wasn't anything to catch me. Let me face y'all, right? So instead of stepping into the call of God on my life, I decided that it would be okay if I just stopped moving forward. Okay, maybe I wasn't running from God, but I sure wasn't pursuing Him. I was letting my mind, my plans win, instead of just simply taking a step forward. I knew that if I took a step forward, I'd be out of control. So, And it's just the craziest thing. I finally opened my ears and listened to God, and I still had to take that step of faith. Now, I'm not sure it'll be the same for every single one of you, but that was my story. All right? That's what I had to do. But God is going to provide for us once we get there. So this illusion of control we have when we don't step in, when we don't take a step of faith, it's just an illusion. We don't have control of our lives. God is the one, the master in control of everything. The Almighty, the All-Sovereign, the All-Knowing, the All-Powerful. It's Him. And so when He says, hey, Ryan, why don't you take this step real quick? How ridiculous would I have to be to sidestep the call of God, the destiny of God on my life, and think I could do it better than Him? Yeah. Y'all know how long He's been doing this? He's really good at it. He was perfect at it from the moment He started. So not only will He get us here, will He get us, bring us into the land that He promised us, but on our journey to the destiny, He'll clear away the many nations ahead of us. That's what His word just said. Have you ever wondered why it takes so long to find your destiny, to find your purpose in life? Anybody?
Yes.
Okay, sweet. In the back, I love it. Okay, me and all five of you. You wonder why. Like, God, how come you haven't shown up yet? How come you haven't done anything yet? How come, you know, you're not answering my beck and call? How come you're not answering? How come you're not doing all the demands I've got listed on my prayer list today? Could it be that the Lord is busy clearing the path ahead of you? He's clearing out the nations ahead of you? Could it be that He's trying to clear out the things inside of us along with the things ahead of us? He's busy preparing you and preparing the land. But Deuteronomy isn't the first time that God has used this particular process to bring people into their promised land. In Exodus, we read this, chapter 23. I will send my terror ahead of you. This is God, by the way. I'll send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive out the Hittites, Canaanites, Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land will become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. I wonder what would grow. I wonder what would grow in our lives if we just showed up and there was a pathway. Yep, walk this way, great, perfect. And we didn't have to depend on God. I wonder what it is in our life that would grow. Would it be wild animals? Would the land just be full of vines and thorns and thistles? I don't know. So, but I'll not drive them out in a single year, because the land will become desolate. And the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little. Gosh, that's frustrating. Little by little, I'll drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. You know, if God took us straight to our life's purpose, I don't know that we would ever learn dependence on him. I think our pride would probably perk up and convince us that we've actually done something ourselves. Can I tell you what I can do by myself? It's a very short sentence. Nothing. But through Christ, I can do all things. And then we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. But when I get involved, my nothing is nothing. I can do nothing. So we have this dichotomy and this choice, like I can live a life of nothing or I can live a life of all things. The choice is yours. It's very easy. The process of little by little is frustrating for sure, but this is how dependence grows. This is how the fruit of the Spirit grows. This is how our faith grows. One of my buddies, Ryan Latham, he said this at one point, and years ago, and it's just stuck with me. He said, people typically want the position without the process. But without the process, there's not character enough to sustain the position. Yeah. And it's just stuck with me. You see, the slow process allows us to gain perspective and recognize God's hand moving in our lives. Little steps of obedience, I'll just tell you, little steps don't seem that hard. They really don't. Little steps. Hey, you know what? Why don't you pray for them? You hear the voice of God. You should text them. Good morning. Hope you have a great day. Easy. Maybe the Holy Spirit says, hey, you should grab one of those bags and pray over it and fill it up and put it in one of the local pantries because there's a family I know is going to be there this afternoon. Easy. That's not hard. Let me give you that so I don't get it messed up. Maybe the Holy Spirit's nudging you. Hey, I want you to be outrageously generous. Hey, invite them to church. Little steps of obedience are easy. It's easy. But when you look back over a lifetime of little steps of obedience, you recognize just how far you've come. Y'all, we're coming up on our third year birthday as a church. That's a big deal. What you don't know, what some of y'all don't know, we started with 4 people. That was easy. It was me, my wife, my 2 boys. That was great. It was easy. It was much simpler back then. But look how far we've gone just with little steps of obedience. Little steps of obedience. The journey towards our purpose, towards our destiny, if not marked by encounters with Jesus, will yield commonality. Commonality. We'll fall into the trap of social status. We'll strive to become something or someone we were never meant to be. Y'all, as believers, we're called to be consecrated. That means set apart for God's purpose. We're called to be different from the people that don't know Jesus. And so when we understand that it's God who does the work preceding our steps, it's He that goes before us. You know, we can walk in confidence. We can walk in confidence that God has already been there, preparing the way, making provisions for us. Big steps of faith aren't really that big when you understand this. The psalmist put it like this: the steps of the righteous are ordered of God. I think that's King James. The steps of the righteous are ordered of God, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, this is verse 24. Have you ever fallen down before? Mm-hmm. Y'all, we can't take scripture out of context, all right? Put it in context and you get the bigger picture, okay? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Mm-hmm. For the Lord upholds him with his right hand, with his hand. We are free. We are free to cause righteous, rebellious chaos among the nations, to rail against the status quo. I'm talking about simple things like loving Jesus out loud, worshiping passionately, praying persistently, being sold out to Christ, recklessly pursuing intimacy with the Father. Can I just tell you that Oxford is desperate for some righteous rebels that yell, no matter what happens, I'm going to love Jesus. We're desperate for it. God has enormous plans for your life. But, and so there's no question. There's no question if God will bring you into the land, but only a question of when. And so God has already been preparing our land, preparing our promised land, our future, our destiny. But we've got treaties with other nations. We've made deals with sin that hold us back from moving forward into our God-given destiny. That's a bad deal. Can you imagine? Just imagine with me. What a group this size could accomplish if we all decided from this point forward, I'm going to recklessly pursue Jesus with everything I've got. I'm going to take every single little step of faith that's put in front of me. I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to be outrageously generous. I'm going to be overly gracious to my family. I'm going to be gentle and caring and loving. I'm going to hold my deep convictions about who Jesus is. And I'm going to tell you about it because I know he can change your life too. It's going to be amazing what God can do. But the catch is we have to totally, radically, mercilessly break the treaty that we've made with the sin in our life. It's hard. When we allow sin to remain in our lives, I don't think any of us would ever actually say this, but when we allow sin to remain in our lives, we tend to elevate that to the same level of Jesus. You want to know how I know that's true? Because it's still there. Mm-hmm. Let me put this a different way, and this might be a truth you don't want to hear. I don't care. My sin is as important to me as my relationship with Jesus. If it wasn't, it wouldn't still be in my life. You know, we kind of our heartbeat as a church, we want to simply create space for God to move and then get out of the way. I'm feeling one of those little steps of obedience kind of creeping up. Not really in my notes, so I'm sorry if you wanted a polished thing, it might not get that today. I think there's treaties that we've made with sin, deals that we've made with sin. The Holy Spirit's already dropping those on your heart, already convicting our spirits. That's not me. I can't convict you of anything. I'm just as much a sinner as everyone else in this room. But when the Holy Spirit gets involved, starts revealing these things to us, he's offering them up on a silver platter, saying, Ryan, why are you still allowing this to stop you from stepping into the purpose and plan I've got for you? Ryan, why do you consider this sin and Jesus on the same level? There's sin in our lives. There's treaties that we've made with these other nations. It's trying to overthrow the kingdom of God that's already set up shop in your heart. Let me skip down a little bit here. The treaties we make with other nations, they're like this contract. And you can't get out of a treaty unless you break the contract. And typically, there's consequences for those contracts breaking, right? Ever had a cell phone plan you had to break before? Man, that was ridiculous. And just a side note, life lesson. There are consequences for your actions. Yeah. Like all of them. There's a consequence for your action. Whether it's good action produces good consequence, bad action produces bad consequence. Okay? Just live in life 101. All right? Consequences for your actions. But the longer we wait to break these treaties, the more difficult it's going to be. The harder it'll become. Attachments and intimacy grows deep roots. And it's more painful the longer we wait. If you've ever been in a relationship that you shouldn't have been in, you understand the depth that this intimacy and these roots can grow down. You understand how hard it is to break that treaty and that contract the longer you've been in with it. We've made treaties with our hearts and elevated sin to the level of Jesus. Only one kingdom can rule in your life. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of you. We have to break the treaty today. We have to be merciless in our destruction. God said, be merciless when destroying the sin nations in our lives. Here's verse 2 back in Deuteronomy. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them completely, you must completely destroy them. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. It's just so good. God has a sweetness about him. God has something so rich, so nutritious, so valuable. He knits us together in our mother's womb. And then we are born into sin and we begin to add layer and layer and layer of sin on top of the sweetness of God's presence. And so it's not until we can recognize, we can put a name to it. Hey, this is what's blocking the presence of God from permeating my life. There's a sweetness about the presence of God. Sometimes it's easy just to cut through a little bit of it. Sometimes it's easy, like you've got a really bad habit. I think we all have habits. Sometimes it's easy to ignore other things in our lives. But other times it's really difficult to cut through the layers of sin that we've allowed to take root in our life. Sometimes we've allowed, yeah, you can see it better here. Sometimes we've allowed sin to crawl so deep into our lives that no matter how sweet the presence of God is, we still have junk that's gotten deep. We have to cut away the layers of sin, completely destroy the kingdoms that are railing against the kingdom of God. We have to be merciless in our destruction. So, sorry about this. It says, show them no mercy. So it's not nicely cutting away things. No, that's merciful. That's easy. That's simple. It says, show them no mercy. Completely destroy the sin nations in your life. Okay, completely destroy it. All right, there you go. I walked away from it. God, I've laid this down at your feet. Anybody ever laid something down at the feet of God before? Mm-hmm. How about in one of those revival services, you're like, ooh, Jesus, I'm feeling the holy goosebumps. I got to give it to you now. And then before you leave, you just go and pick it back up. Like, all right, see you next time. Glad revival only comes like once a year or whatever it is. There's mercy that we show to sin because we want to keep it in our life. I hope you don't get any sin on you when I destroy this. Okay, ready? Oh, no. Didn't break.
Oh, no. That would have been enough. Break it.
Give it love.
Church, Even a cracked outer shell can reveal the sweetness of God's plan for your life. But it's not until there is nothing left. There's nothing left that we can root out the evil that we've allowed to creep into our lives. And then we can finally taste the sweetness of God's presence. You cannot be merciful to your sin unless you have truly decided, yup, sin, you're just as important to me as Jesus. You have to be merciless in your destruction of sin in your life. Hebrews said, you haven't resisted sin yet to the point of shedding blood. Anybody? Have you resisted sin that hard yet? No. You got to be gone. We'll just pretend it completely destroyed. It's not watermelon season, all right? Those things explode. Front row is going to get a splash. Listen. God says, be merciless in your destruction of sin in your life. But that's not all. Sometimes, like I said, we like to revisit our sin. Isn't Satan so good about reminding you of the good old days when you're out in them streets and you are doing things? Come on now. The Bible says sin is fun for a season. So you walk away from something, you forget the consequence and remember the moment. It ain't worth it, y'all. It's not proper English, but you know what I mean. That is not worth it. There you go. It's not worth it. James said, resist the devil and he will flee. No mercy. Jesus said, go and sin no more. No mercy. That doesn't mean go and eventually you can sin some more. No. It doesn't mean go and sin just a little bit less. No. It means show him no mercy. The kingdom of sin will set up shop in your life and grow crap all over you. There's no way to get around the effects of sin. The wages of sin is you have to completely destroy it. Completely destroy it. No more, no mercy. Break the treaty. Put this thing back together real quick. And then we have some trees. I'm going to need some help with this one. Caden, Aubrey, can y'all come help me real quick? This is going to be fun. Okay. I need you to bind me up with a contract, okay? So, for example, you're going to tie that on there, all right? And I'm just going to keep living my life. Okay? Perfect, perfect. And you're going to get another treaty, and you're going to tie another treaty onto me. Anywhere, it's fine. I'm going to keep talking. Y'all keep, you know, doing your thing. Do it on my leg. That's fine. That's great. There are issues. There are sin issues that we allow to take root in our lives. And we end up carrying around all of this extra stuff. To be sure, some things are easier to get out of than others. Okay? Some things, just sheer willpower, it takes what? 30 days to break a habit or to start a new one? Something like 21 days. I don't remember what it is. I heard something new like last week. 21. See, that was the number that I knew. But we allow these things to continually add on. You know, maybe just a little porn this week. Maybe just a little bit of lust this week will be fine. Maybe I can just wallow in my feelings of unworthiness this week just a little bit. Maybe I'm just going to be okay with the depression that's tying my feet together. Don't tie my feet together. Maybe I'm okay just standing still because, well, you know, if I don't move forward or backwards, I won't fall down again. So I'm not going to pursue what God has placed in front of me. I'm not going to walk the road that Jesus has placed in front of me. Maybe feelings of anxiety and depression. Church, I'm not here to make light of the issues that you're dealing with. I know some of them are real. I know all of them are real to you. But, y'all, if we allow this, if we allow sin to continually, this is probably good. You think this is probably, y'all give it up for these guys. They did an awesome job. Let me have that. I just need that one. If we allow sin to remain in our lives, we are tethered to it. We've made contracts with it. We've said, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to carry your word around. So help me. Oh, man, look at God's blessing me. And we've still got sin dragging us back down. We're not even able to take a real step of faith because our feet are tied together. We have to be merciless when we destroy this sin in our life. Root it out, cold turkey, I don't care, quit. But then all the other things, those relationships that have kept us bound, that have kept us down, it's so hard to move forward when you can't move forward. When it gets so heavy, because it's not just that I have sin in my life. It's that sin is crippling me. I can't see the effects of sin because now, well, this just feels normal. I've become accustomed to living in sin. And so what we used to call sin, maybe it's not sin anymore. And can I just tell you, sin is sin? I'm sorry if it offends you, but that's something you got to take up with God. Let me take it one step further, okay? Half a step further, okay? When you accept Jesus in your heart, he loves you immediately. He forgives you immediately. It's beautiful. It's such a holy moment. If you're going to be baptized today, it's weird. Got all this sin on me. If you're going to get baptized today, this is your time. Go change and meet me right down front. Kids captain, can you go holler at the kids captain? Okay, great. We already got that. We're going to bring our elementary kids in. When Jesus comes into your life and becomes your Lord and your Savior, that is a phenomenal thing that has happened. But can I tell you the truth? Life transformation typically takes a lifetime. It's not that easy to break treaties with people and habits that we've had our entire life. But little by little, y'all remember that, how annoying that process is, right? Little by little, we get free. We've got some more movement. I got another hand I can worship Jesus with. I got another hand I can help a brother or sister out with. Little by little, I'm not trapped down by being a workaholic. Look at this. I've been spending so much time at work, my family doesn't even recognize me anymore. Look, I can now give them a real hug again. I spent so much time lying to my friends and my family about how I'm doing. I'm fine. Isn't that right, Jacoby? I'm fine. How you doing? I'm fine. Anybody ever use that lie before? Okay, me and Shay. Great. Oh, and Jacob, I appreciate you, your honesty. I'm fine. There we go. I spent so much time trying to convince everybody else that I'm fine that I don't even know what to do when Jesus comes in and removes the weight of sin in my life. I still feel like I have to pretend that I'm fine. When Jesus didn't come, live, die, and live again for us to be fine. He came and he lived and he gave his life so that we could live life more abundantly. Not just so-so, not just I'm just scraping by, I'm barely getting by. No, life more abundantly. Worship team, why don't y'all come help us too? God has mighty, mighty plans for you. And the moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're getting freer. You're getting freer. Salvation is an instant. It's a momentary transformation. Sanctification, which is what we're tied, that's a big church word. That means to become more like Jesus. I am like Jesus and I am becoming more like Jesus. That means I can't allow the kingdom of sin to live, rule in my life anymore. I'm not willing to be held back by junk anymore. I'm going to find me an accountability partner that I can call when I would rather look at porn than worship Jesus. No more. I forgot I had these other ones on. You see, you just forget how normal sin feels in your life. I'm not willing to let my family suffer anymore because I'm so consumed with my own stuff. I'm so selfish I can't even see my family's hurting anymore. No more. No more in the name of Jesus. You have to be merciless in your destruction of the nation of sin in your life. You have to be merciless when you break the treaties with sin. Do I have any more sin on me? Get that sin off of me. Would y'all jump to your feet with me real quick? I know this probably isn't the best setting to do this, and I don't really care. Actually, this is probably the best setting. Prayer team, can y'all come on help me real quick? We're going to make some decisions to break some treaties, and then we're going to dunk some folks and celebrate what Jesus is doing. Today's response is about drawing a line in the sand. It's about declaring that everything I've got is yours. Sin, you no longer get to live as important to me as Jesus is. Bye. So you're here, and you've made a treaty. You've made a bargain with sin in your life. Sin, I'll let you stay, but you got to keep making me feel good. That's not how it works, y'all. Sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you there longer than you want to stay. It'll destroy people in the process. So here we are today. Are you willing to mercilessly destroy the kingdom of sin in your life? Are you willing to break the treaty? Look, now I know we got people in here. We got Branch Kids in here. What up, Branch Kids? How y'all doing? Come on. They know what's up. I know we've got guests in the room. We've got new people that have never been here before, and maybe you don't even know what this means. Like, but I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give God an opportunity. I want to create the room for him to move and then get out of the way. I can't finish this. We can't even move on to the next part until I give you an opportunity to respond to the word of God. The word of God is be merciless in your destruction of sin in your life. And so I'm going to pray. And the moment I say amen, you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your life. You feel the Holy Spirit moving on your life saying, ooh, this is what you got. You got to get this out. This is your issue. You got to deal with this. Break the treaty. Smash that cantaloupe. Cut that string. Break the treaty. No mercy. You feel that tug in your spirit? It is our joy to pray with you and to battle with you because we know God has great and mighty plans for you. He didn't create you on accident. It was on purpose and full of purpose. We're going to draw a line in the sand today, and we're going to step across and never go back. We're going to lay our kingdom of sin at the altar. So I'm going to pray, and when I say amen, if we can pray with you and battle with you in the spiritual realm to help you break that bondage of sin, that's what we want to do. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you praise and honor because you are good. You are mighty. You give good gifts to those who love you. Your children, that's us. God, you've called us your own. I'm so grateful, Jesus, that you came and you lived and you died so that we could be more than overcomers, more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. God, I'm grateful because you have already went ahead of us, clearing out the land, clearing out all of the enemy nations so we can come in, make no treaties with them anymore. We can mercilessly destroy the kingdom of sin in our life and cut the strings of treaties, cut those contracts right now in the name of Jesus. Church, if you're here today and you're like, yo, Brian, I've made contracts, I gotta cut them. I'm not saying you're a bad person. You're probably an awesome person. But we've all got stuff. So you're here and you've got the nation of sin creeping up in your life. The Holy Spirit's pressing on you right now. It's time to lay it down. That's what we want to do. Let's go. Right here. Worship team, let's worship. We love you. I'm so excited y'all came to celebrate with us. I know the worship team's going to jam out and celebrate with us some more. But y'all know how we like to do it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of every service,
we like to say something that really drives home who we are in response to who He is. So,
Jesus said, I'm the vine.
We are the branches.